even if you don't feel like doing it, make yourself do it. Or even if you only do it half when you're doing it, just go ahead and do it. And there's one phrase that I love in the working out world is like, embrace the suck. You know, sometimes this just stinks and we don't want to do it, but just embrace it and do it. And what you do afterwards is take a moment and praise yourself for actually doing it. Because then what you set yourself up for is the next time it's difficult, you remind yourself, yeah, but I did it that last time. So you do it again. And then it becomes part of who you are.
Hey, ladies, how are you? Welcome to the Women Who Lead Summit. We have had such an amazing time with this amazing speaker. So I want you to get ready to be inspired and empowered by our next speaker. Make sure you grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, grab your drink, because this is going to be really insightful. I have the incredible Jan Rader here, and she's also known as the Self-Care Sensei. Now, with over 30 years of dedicated karate training under her belt, Jan embodies a true essence of fearlessness, of duty, of honor, and perseverance. Now, her passion for the martial arts not only fueled her own journey of her own personal growth and her own academics achievements, right? But she's taken all of that and she is using it now to ignite her calling to help others transform their lives. So as a martial arts educator, a well-being advocate, and the author of Strive for More, got it right here because it's real good, y'all, okay? What well-being really means and how you can achieve it. Now, Jan combines her expertise and experience with the MORE framework. So she's going to go into that with you. It's meaning, optimism, relationship, and engagement. This is to guide individuals and teams towards this holistic success. She's here to share the science of well-being and the exercise that truly work for each of us and how we can build resilience, cultivate emotional balance, and live a more fulfilling life. I know that's what I want. So I want you to prepare to discover and unleash your own warrior spirit on your terms. So please join me in welcoming the Self-Care Sensei, because she's going to talk to you about understanding well-being, both the science and the exercises that really, really work. So let's welcome to the stage. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. I'm sitting here actually welling up at that introduction.
Yeah,
I'm so grateful for you know, what your words that you just shared.
Yeah, well, you're an amazing person, Jan, and we've had really a really great camaraderie, you and I, since our last time together on the podcast. And as soon as I was coming up with this event, I reached out because I'm like, you know, I want to speak to Jan about this because I know that you're the Self-Care Sensei. I know that you can help these amazing women who are here to really elevate their game as they're going into 2025, which is the reason why I did this, right? Because most people by the second week of January are throwing away all of their resolutions and their goals. And I'm like, you know what? It's time to inspire and help them to really know what self-care is and how they can start striving for more in their life, right? Right. So right. Welcome. And I'm so glad you're here. I really am excited that you're here. Right. So
I'm excited to be here. Any help that you can offer, even to just one person, mm-hmm. be life changing, mm-hmm. not just for the person, but for you too. So Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about your martial arts and it's something that I've always wanted to do. I did it for like, I think it was like a little less than a year when I was in my like late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to know how these coaches or these aspiring coaches that are listening right now, how do they apply your martial arts inspired principles, right? Like the discipline, the perseverance, all of that stuff that comes with the martial arts to help them with their clients and help themselves, right? So to remain focused, to remain confident, to like face all of the inevitable ups and downs, because I don't care what anybody tells you, all the people who are sitting on a beach somewhere drinking mimosas and telling you that the coaching business is just that, that's not true. Can you give them the tools for that?
So first thing I want to start out with is when you think about discipline or self-discipline, that's really based on doing things when you don't want to do them. You know, and I love the the example of exercise, because martial arts is a physical practice. It's also mental and spiritual and emotional too. There's lots of things that happen there, but you have to actually go to class to make it work. It's like, if you want to lose weight or do anything physical, you know, any of those things, you have to actually show up and do them. So what I always say to people is, even if you don't feel like doing it, make yourself do it. Or even if you only do it half when you're doing it, just go ahead and do it. And there's one phrase that I love in the working out world is like, embrace the suck. You know, sometimes this just stinks and we don't want to do it, but just embrace it and do it. And what you do afterwards is take a moment and praise yourself for actually doing it. Because then what you set yourself up for is, the next time it's difficult, you remind yourself, yeah, but I did it that last time. So you do it again. And then it becomes part of who you are, instead of just drudgery and feeling like, oh my God, I've got to do that again. So that's what the part of the martial arts helped me with, is that discipline. There were times where, at the beginning of my career, I would sit in my car in the parking lot and before class and literally grip the steering wheel of my car and breathe and make myself go in. And I always felt better afterwards. So that moment of gripping whatever it is, that's gonna help you get through it. The other thing is, you have to find a why. And you've heard this, I know you've heard this, because a lot of people say this and it's true. You need to find a why, and a tangible why. Why are you coaching people? Why are you, any of the goals that you set in your life, why are you wanting to create this business or have this business that you've started? Maybe you want more clients. Why do you want those clients? Do you want them because you want to help people? You want to make money, which, you know, if you want to make some money, that's not a bad thing. But at the same time, if you're trying to help people, you have to focus on that too. So you need to find these tangible whys. And you've got to write them down. And there's loads and loads of resources out there for setting goals and keeping those goals. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard already. It's just a matter of doing it. And that's the discipline part. That's the self-discipline part, is doing it even when you don't want to do it, and making yourself do it. That's really the long and short of it. It's making yourself doing it, and making yourself do it when you don't want to do it, but then celebrating that win after you struggled to do it, and then writing that down and saying, you know, gee, whatever the example was, whatever the moment was where you pushed yourself through and you actually did it, even if it wasn't perfect, you did it. You sit there and savor that moment that you wrote down later on, because then that next hurdle, that next struggle is easier to get over. It'll be, and then the time after that, then write that one down, the time after that. Now, I'm not a big journaler, and I even say in my book about you writing things down, and there is science to show that if you journal too much, it can feel tedious to some folks, myself included. So in this case, I would highly recommend that you write it down, especially at the beginning, because then later on, you may not have to write it down. You may just go, oh yeah, I remember when I had that trouble and I needed to just push myself through. So that would be what I would suggest for folks that are feeling that way.
Thank you. And that was really good, Jan, because it made me think about, right, that embracing the suck, just doing what you don't want to do. And that is really a large part of this entrepreneurial world. It really is. There's so many times you get up and you don't want to do it. You don't do that email, or you don't want to have to reach out to that prospect, or you don't want to do those things, but you have to do it. And you're right. I think what I love the most is to pause for a second and then really praise yourself, to remind yourself that you did it. And then when it happens again, then you remind yourself again that you already did this before, so you can do this, right? I love that. And then finding your why, you know, I don't think we can say that enough. Because I think people don't really get that. Like, they think, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I want to do it because no. What Jan is talking about is peeling back that onion of the why. Because she said, why do you want to be a coach? Why do you want that client? How does that, why is it that you even want to do that, right? So it's about peeling back another layer until you get to the real why and not the surface why, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that why has to be tangible. You have to really be able to grab onto it.
Right.
And that's, I mean, for me personally, I've been on a weight loss journey because I'm to an age and I have some physical issues that are difficult to overcome. And I kept a pair of pants, a pair of jeans that I wore 20 years ago. I kept them where I could see them. Like mm-hmm. every day I'd get in that closet and go, I'm coming for you. So I'm in a
so good.
It does work. It has yeah. to be something tangible, even if it's small.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And I know that you're really, you know, fantastic about, you know, well-being and having strategies and, you know, personalizing your well-being. And you emphasize that well-being is like this deeply personal and cultural experience, right? And so I the reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm reading your book and me and you have spoken, and I just wanted you to give these women some real practical steps as coaches and as they're building their business that they can ensure that they are tailoring well-being strategies to not just themselves, but to their clients, right? Because we're all coming at this with unique backgrounds, with unique circumstances. And as coaches, we have to recognize that, especially as we're growing and expanding our businesses, right? Because we want to speak to the right people. So can you talk to us about that?
Absolutely. I would say that what you're saying, what you're speaking about, because we're going to get into this in a little bit about the MOR framework. And when I read this question, I thought, well, she's really talking about meaning, because meaning, that's the M in the MOR framework. Meaning is so individual. Collectively, I will say that meaning to all of us is something larger than ourselves. The research has shown over, it's got to be, again, I'm looking down at my notes, it's got to be about 50 plus years of research that has shown folks with faith, and that's faith in something larger than ourselves, are happier people. They're better well-adjusted, their lives flourish, they feel they're living better lives when they find meaning. Now, in addition to that, because of course I'm a faithful person, I do believe in there's things out there that are larger than me and what I am, like I said, I'm a person of faith. And I don't want to get into that part of it because you can get upset, you know, people, it can upset some people. So what I like people to think about is, what is something that's meaningful to you personally? And there are tools out there. And in my book, I offer a couple of tools to just kind of sit with and think about what is meaningful to you. And that might be one of the things that the folks that are watching this, that are starting a coaching business or are new to it, or even have a coaching business for a while, is there's a exercise where there's 100 different things. Actually, I think it's 110. And you have to kind of go through them and choose 10 and then narrow it down to 5 of things that are most important to you. And that's a way to look at yourself and figure out what's important to you, what is meaningful to you. And that can help you to not only define what you want to do in your coaching business, but also to attract, like you said, the people that you want to coach, because you're going to coach people that are of a similar mindset to you, because if not, you're just going to be, I think, probably pushing up against them and maybe not helping them at all. But not to say that that can't be helpful too for some folks, but finding meaning and then also gratitude is a huge, huge part of meaning. What are you grateful for? And it can be the smallest things. I do this weekly post on all my social media platforms about what went well. And that's in my book too, the What Went Well exercise. And it's such a powerful one. Dr. Martin Seligman, who is the father of positive psychology, he developed this with his students in his psychology class at Penn State. And the most important part of it, what's different than a gratitude list, is you focus on what went well, something in your day that went well, but why did it go well? Like, for example, maybe your significant other brought home your favorite ice cream. And why was that great? Because you didn't ask them to. Or someone did something kind for you and you weren't expecting it. And, you know, that was the reason why it was something that went well. So it isn't just about gratitude, but why did it go well? And what that little piece, that why piece does, is it helps our negativity grabbing brains start to flip over to thinking more positively, because we always want to go to the negative. It's just the way we're hardwired. So we need to constantly practice thinking about the positive, going towards the side of positivity. So that's such an important thing. And so I think from the perspective of your folks that are coaching, if you do these exercises with your clients, maybe you share what you have done with these exercises, what your results were, because then you're making a connection with them. Encourage them to do some of these. And there's other exercises out there where people can find out about themselves. Personality tests, Myers-Briggs. There's also a VIA, which is a character strengths, which is also in my book. And these are all ways to get in touch with who we are and what is meaningful to us. And then once you connect with your clients and know what's meaningful to them, then it definitely helps you to help them, because you can then back away and look at the bigger picture.
So that was good. But I like that, right? Because you're right. Meaning is individual. And, you know, you talked about it. Also, meaning can be larger than ourselves. It could be a togetherness or with more people, right? Folks with faith, I actually read that study about the folks with faith are happier people. I did read that study. That was very interesting. I'm a person of faith too, so that was interesting to me. Yeah. What is something meaningful to you personally, like asking those questions? I do the core values with the women in my coaching program, and we do the same thing, right? Like the 110, narrow it down to 10, narrow it down to 5. What are the top 3? That kind of thing, right? And I think people need to take the pause to do that. Most people don't, but it's important because it'll show you what is meaningful to you. What is your values? What is it that you're really connected to, right? And then gratitude. I couldn't agree with you more, Jan. Gratitude is a game changer.
Yes.
It has shifted my entire life, honestly, gratitude. Because in the darkest places, being homeless, being, you know, not having things in my life, being broke, being all those things, and still seeing the silver lining, as they say, the gratitude really does shift your mind. It actually shifts your emotions too. It's an amazing thing.
There's a Viktor Frankl, who is a psychiatrist, and he was a Holocaust survivor. He's written amazing things about gratitude and just about perseverance, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a Holocaust survivor. Is right there. We could talk for days about that. But yeah, it's definitely great. It'd be a fun thing actually for the coaches to do is to ask their clients if you don't share your top 5, if you have them do that exercise where they look at those 110 things, have them guess what the coach's top 5 is. Because that's a fun game, because then it becomes a game. It's like when we're kids, if you're told by your parent to do this, you don't want to do it. But if they make it into a game, then, maybe it's more fun. I actually read something about that someone did that at a party with all the party guests, is everybody did it. And then they kept it anonymous, and they tried to figure out who were the ones that had these as their top 5. So I thought that would be kind of fun. You get to see how well you know people too, that you think. So
you also get to see how well you know yourself, because sometimes you think that some values you have are there. No, absolutely. And then you do the thing and you're like, oh, okay. That surprised me, which is a good thing, because then you start to look at the reality of what it is that you value. Right.
Yeah,
and the exercise that I liked, and I will be using this, is what went well and why.
I
like that exercise because I think it'll keep us focused on, even in our business, right? Because I talk to my women about minding their minutes. And I sometimes they get a little bit overwhelmed, like, oh, Nina, this is hard. But I say, yes, it is. But mind your minutes and you can get through it. But I like the what went well and why, right? I like that a lot. I really do. So go ahead.
As a side note with that, depressed patients, when they did that exercise, they felt better up to 6 months after doing that exercise. And he is a self-proclaimed pessimist. And he said he does that exercise all the time. And it is a huge way to lift yourself.
It is. I always try to see what is I don't think I ask myself directly what went well. I always say, what's the good out of this outcome, or what's the positive outcome, which is basically the same thing. So yeah. When something hard is happening, I'm like, okay, what is this for? Oh, it's to build your endurance. It's to build your resilience. You got this, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. And I wanted to talk about your more framework. Okay. So your framework is focusing on, you mentioned meaning, optimism, yeah. It's relationships and engagement. And so what are a few ways that everyone who's listening right now, how can they seamlessly incorporate this into their lives, into their model, maybe of their programs, right? I want them to foster these long lasting transformations for their clients. And I know that that's what your more framework is about. Yes. So would you mind going through that more framework with us a bit and just how they can actually utilize this framework?
Of course. Sure. We're going to start with the M just briefly, because we've kind of discussed that a little bit. That's about meaning is what's so difficult, because it's very abstract. As we spoke about earlier, it's very individualized. And what means something to someone else may not mean the same thing to another person. Optimism is also, it's optimism and positive emotions. Like I talked about just a moment ago, we have negativity bias. We are hardwired to go toward the negative. It's a survival technique, which is understandable, but in today's world, we're not being chased by apex predators necessarily. Not here. I'm sure there are places that people can be chased by apex predators, but the majority of us aren't. So we have to develop these optimistic and positive outlooks. And the way we do that is that gratitude piece. That is a huge, and understanding also what are the positive emotions? Most people just think about joy, and that's not true. Interest, and there's also just intrigue and all this. So if you're curious about something, that's actually a positive emotion. If you're curious and you try to learn more about it, you're going to develop those positive emotions. You're going to help to elevate those. The other thing too is about being positive is also a very important survival technique. The more optimistic we are, which I like optimism because it's a choice. I can decide that the glass is half full instead of half empty, which, by the way, the glass is completely full. If it's half full of water, it's half full of air. So it's actually scientifically, it's completely full. But it's a way to choose to be. And you can choose to be positive, even in a negative situation. The R stands for relationships. Relationships are the foundation of our well-being. And that is not from me. That is from what's called a longitudinal study. It's a very long study. This study's been going on since 1938, and it continues to be ongoing. Dr. Robert Waldinger is actually the head of that study now. Anyway, what they discovered in all the time that they have been doing this study with the participants is that their relationships are the most crucial thing to our well-being. So how we relate to each other. And that kind of harkens back to what we were talking about before. If you don't understand who you are, it's hard to relate well to someone else. If you aren't optimistic and positive, it's harder to relate to people. Like, no one wants to be around the Debbie Downer. No one wants to be around a negative person. We all want to be around positive people. So that's another important, these all overlap on each other. The meaning, the optimism, the relationships, the engagement, they all connect to one another, but it makes us able to understand the abstract ideas of well-being and wellness. So the final piece that I included here was engagement, the E. Now, engagement is, a lot of people talk about it at work. You know, my employees aren't engaged, it's costing me money, so on and so forth. But engagement, it isn't just that, it's also flow, which that was developed by one of Seligman's colleagues. And it is about losing yourself in your activities. And that cannot be, I always tell people, that's not scrolling on your phone, because we can lose ourselves in that too. Engagement comes in when you do an activity that actually is slightly challenging, can be slightly challenging to you, and you put yourself into it. And then you start to lose track of time. And those are the moments where we really feel great, because we've challenged ourselves, we've thrown ourselves into that activity, and then all of a sudden, we don't even know that the time has passed. So we can, and I also like to think about engagement as staying present in the moment. Now, when you're talking about being a coach and clients, we already talked about the meaning piece. Meaning is important to not understand why you're doing it, but why is your client doing it? And what's meaningful to them? How do you build optimism with your client? By using the gratitude piece, by having them understand what are the actual positive emotions. And they are listed in my book. There's 10 of them. They've been studied by Barbara Fredrickson. She's been studying them for over 30 years when all her colleagues were focusing only on the negative emotions, which are very easy to find. Positive emotions are harder to find. So it's important to know what those are. And it's also important to try to cultivate them by doing these practices. Relationships, listening to people, really closely listening to them and putting yourself in their place because you're developing compassion. As a coach, you have to be compassionate, but at the same time, you can't also get down in their hole, if you will, with them. You can't do that because then you're not effective. So there's a give and take there where you're having that compassion, you're building that relationship with them, that trust with them. Again, that's part of that engagement piece where you're listening intently. I know Nina just mentioned manager minutes, which I think is important too, because we can lose track of our time. And that can be bad in some cases with business, but at the same time, it can also be good when you have a really difficult situation with a client. Sometimes you may need to go over to get over that hump. But I guess that's one of the ways that I could suggest that you use the MORE framework. If you read my book, you'll definitely get it. It's very easy to read. There's lots and lots of data in there for you to use. There's lots of places that are additional jumping off points for you that maybe I didn't even include in my book that you read some of the experts that I've included in the back. Maybe you read some of their material and it helps you. So all of these things are very important for you and your clients to kind of learn a little bit more about them. That's why you wrote the book.
Exactly. That's why you wrote the book. I love what you talked about. So I love your framework, right? The meaning, the optimism, the relationship and engagement. And, you know, I love that you talked about the positive emotions when it's gratitude is a part of that. But you also said it's not just happy, happy, joy stuff. It's just it's joy is included. Interest is included. Curiosity and intrigue. I really like that because that's true. When I'm in the weeds or when I feel overwhelmed, I realize that my creativity has shut down. Right. And it's not until I pull away for a few days or whatever I have to do and just reset my mind that I realize my curiosity comes back and all of these great programs start coming back to mind. So that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I also love, and I stole this from you from the last time, was the glass is always full. It's half water, half oxygen. I stole that. I used that somewhere in a podcast somewhere. So I definitely stole that from you.
Yeah, it's fantastic because that's what it's completely full.
Yeah, yeah. And I think about that all the time since you said that in the last podcast. I think about it all the time. And so, yeah. And so that's really stuck with me.
For the people that you're working with, the coaches, if you find something, you can actually build a whole lesson or anything off of that because you can just really get into, you can dig deep into that. Yeah. Whatever it is. So,
100%. And then I loved about the relationships being about well-being. I love that. I always say that solitude or, you know, feeling very lonely and being isolated, I call it the devil's playground, meaning that's where you get all the attacks. That's where you don't feel well. You don't feel like you're good enough. I mean, solitude in like meditation, being yourself, resetting, those are all good things. Yes. But if you are in a negative headspace and trying to stay alone in that space for a long period of time, that's not good. That's where depression comes in, anxiety comes in, unworthiness, all of that. I call it the devil's playground. So I love that you mentioned that. And then you talked about engagement, right? Losing yourself in activities, flow, challenging, like you put yourself into it, that this could be a great thing because you're actually flowing in the thing that you are trying to finish, create, start, you know, those kind of things. And I love that. I love all of that. And I wanted to talk about and you know, round this conversation out for these amazing coaches that are here about maintaining their well-being. because you're talking about all of these great steps, right? And coaches, I know you do and I do too. We give so much of ourselves and we give a lot of ourselves to our clients. We want to give ourselves to our clients, right? So the thing is though, burnout happens, you know, mental, emotional roller coasters happen. So what I would like you to do is to give these amazing women some tools, some words of wisdom on how they can safeguard their mental, emotional, and physical health. Because I know for me, when I was in corporate, I actually have now autoimmune conditions that I deal with. I didn't take care of myself.
Right.
And so I want them to go into this entrepreneurial venture knowing that there are safeguards that they can have for their mental, emotional, and physical health so that they can show up for themselves, but that they can show up and continue to grow their business and be sustainable. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Yes.
100%. Thank you. Yeah, for sure. So I think I would start with, I know what that, I do know what it feels like because I was very invested in my students in my karate. I'm retired now from the karate career, but I was invested in those students. And I remember I was heartbroken every time a student would quit because they didn't think of it a lot of times the way I did. So I think one of the things that I think is so important, and I'm going to say this in, I think it's going to be, I don't know. I'm just going to say it. Meditation. And people hate that when they hate the word meditation and they think, oh my God, she's going to make me sit there and be quiet. And not. Meditation can also be moving. When I was in the martial arts, that was a form of moving meditation. Like I talked about earlier with engagement, when you try to develop a skill for yourself, especially a physical skill, and you lose track of time, that becomes a moving meditation. Getting out into nature. Just taking a walk outside. There's data to show in research that 4 to 11 minutes walking outside can elevate your mood. So getting out into nature and just taking a deep breath and breathing that in and listening and looking and is, I don't want you to not care about your client, but at the same time, like I said earlier, you can't climb down in the hole with them. So you have to maintain a little bit of distance with your client. Now, in my book, I talk about the fact that when in martial arts, we do spar with each other. So I had to fight. I've fought probably 10,000 rounds in my or more. You can't get emotional about that because the minute you get emotional, you lose. And you don't know what someone else is bringing to the table. So you have to kind of practice a little bit of detachment. And that's kind of hard. You have to find a balance between being slightly detached from somebody that you're trying to help and also be compassionate for them. So and empathy is a good word for that, where you can empathize with how they're feeling, but you don't crawl down in that hole with them because you can't offer them the hand to get out of it. So I think being empathetic, being compassionate, being a little bit distant, if you will, to kind of protect yourself is good. So, but making sure that you watch out for you. Look at what your triggers are. The more you know who you are, like we talked about the meaning piece earlier, the more that you know about yourself, you'll be able to tell, okay, I'm starting to feel this way, or I'm starting to, like Nina just mentioned, in the corporate world, I just was burnout. You have to have a cognizant moment of, okay, this is what's happening to me. I'm feeling burned out. Why am I feeling burned out? What am I doing? Maybe I focus too much on one part of my business and not enough on the other. Maybe I forgot why I wanted to coach people. So these are all questions that you need to ask yourself as you're thinking about your own mental health. And also you have to set boundaries for yourself. It's not a bad thing to say that, you know, I'm not reachable from 7 to, you know, 2 in the morning, whatever it is, whatever your time frame is. But you need to also set those boundaries because they're healthy too. And the client needs to have boundaries. They need to learn how to set them. And you can be the example for setting those boundaries.
So I really love that, right? Because you're right. Meditation doesn't mean that you have to just stay still. And I love that. I love that you said there was movement in meditation. And I love the 4 to 11 minutes of walking and nature and all that great stuff. I actually do that every day. I pull away from my computer and I go walk for 40 minutes. just to clear my mind, spend time with God, you know, get into nature, prayer, the air hitting my skin, all of that great stuff. So I love that. And so I love that you shared all these amazing tools. I think these women, if they took down their notes like they should have, are going to really be impacted with putting your method to their life. Jan, thank you so much for being here and for pouring out all of this wisdom. I know that the women who are here can learn more about you. We will have that information linked below for people to be able to contact you and speak with you. So I wanted to thank you because you really left so many great tools and resources for them. And I know that these women are going to hit the ground running for 2025. I'm really grateful. Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to have been involved in this. And I really wish everybody a wonderful 2025. You can make it happen. That's what you have to focus on, that you can make that happen.
Absolutely. Stay in flow. Make sure that you understand that the glass is full. It's not half empty. I love that so much. So make sure you have meaning and optimism and relationships and engagement. And so don't forget that Jan has her amazing book. Make sure you pick that up. Okay. Strive for more. I want to make sure that you guys are striving for more. 2025 cannot look like 2024. All right. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Women Who Lead.